At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by the Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and to those whom the Son chose to reveal to him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I wonder if you might join me for a word of prayer. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be acceptable to you. Thank you for this time and this opportunity to think about the scripture that was just read. Help us to consider what it means to hear you say, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Give us insight into our own lives and the ways that we rest in you. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this summer is the sermon series this summer. And this week we're talking about this summer rest. Summer days sort of bring images of rest, right? That long nap on the beach, time at a pool, maybe a long hike in a park, time on the grass on a blanket, just resting, no matter who you are and where you live. I was driving through Lake Fairfax Park last week, and families were all over the place. They had tarps, they had shelters, they had hammocks that they strung between trees. People were just having such a nice time. And in each site, I could see examples of people that were just resting. And maybe this scripture really speaks to you when you hear Jesus say it in the Gospel of John, or in the Gospel of Matthew, rather, sorry. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. Maybe you feel like Jesus is speaking to you. Maybe you feel like Jesus is giving you an invitation, because maybe right now the thing that you feel more than anything else is just a little weary. A lot of people are going to be recovering from the pandemic and all that's gone on for some time, I think. I think this is a summer when all of us are really wise to think about the rest we need for the fall and the year that is to come. When Jesus says, all you who are weary and burdened, what is it about that phrase that resonates with you? Where's your weariness and where are your burdens? Now, when I read the Gospels, when I read the Gospel of Matthew in this example, Jesus is often interacting with crowds or individuals. He knows people. And I think that one of the things that he knows is that there is a what I would call a normal, not easy part of life. So your normal life doesn't mean your easy life. Normal life has a lot of things that are difficult, a lot of things that make you weary, a lot of things that make you feel like I could use a little rest. Normal life has stress. Normal life has work. Circumstances in your normal life can be pretty difficult. You may be worried about smaller children. You may be worried about older parents. You may be worried about both at the same time. You may be someone who has been thinking about changes you want to make to your life because you're just looking for a new season to get into. And the question is, do we do that in a fashion that makes sense? I've been thinking a lot about cicadas. I was telling our confirmation students on Sunday of last week about the cicadas that I've been noticing. And, you know, we've all heard that hum of cicadas, and it's slowly diminishing, I've noticed. It's starting to tone down, and I think those cicadas are going back into the last part of their life cycle where they're going to go back underground, and they'll say, I'll see you in 17 years. That's a bug that takes rest seriously when it goes underground for 17 straight years. But while it's up and while it's in the life cycle above the ground, I mean, the cicada is everywhere. The cicadas fly through the air, and you can almost hear them as they fly. There was this TV show years and years ago called The Greatest American Hero, and it was about a guy who found a superhero costume, and when he put it on, he could fly. He had super strength. He had all these powers. But the problem is, the aliens that left the costume also left an instruction book, and he lost the instruction book. That was sort of the deal with the show. And so when he flew, he was always like flying through the air, but he was in bouncing off walls, or he couldn't land properly. And I think that's what the cicadas are dealing with. The cicadas fly around. You can almost hear them as they're flying, going, ah. You know, and in they come. They're landing on my clothes. They're in your hair. They're flying into your windshield. And I got to tell you, when they fly into your windshield, they leave a mark, right? I mean, it's terrible. And so the other day, some cicadas had hit my windshield. I drove into the gas station. I was filling up, and I got the squeegee. And when I reached in the bucket for the squeegee, I pulled it out. And lo and behold, when I pulled out the squeegee out of the bucket, what was looking at me? Four cicadas. And I looked at them, and I said, guys, how did you get in there? And they looked back at me, and one by one, they said, we don't know. Like, we were just flying around, and thanks for getting us out of this. Well, let me ask you a question. Does your normal life ever feel like that? Does your normal life ever feel a little out of control? A little bit like it lacks a strong sense of how to launch and how to land? Do you ever feel like you're up to your neck in the blue liquid and you're not even sure how you got into it? That's the normal, not easy. And my sense is, when Jesus was meeting with people, he often realized that people were burdened and needed rest and were weary, just because normal life does that to you. People in Jesus' time had that too. People needed to be healed of their diseases. Sometimes parents brought children to Jesus and said, my child is sick and I don't know why, and I don't know what to do. And he did miracles. Sometimes people came to Jesus with questions about their family or questions about their life, and he helped them. He blessed them. He helped them get on track so they could fly straight, so they could land well, so they wouldn't be underwater. The normal, not easy, will make you weary over time. But there's a second thing that I think gets in our way as humans, that I think people in Jesus' time, and it's the hard we create. The hard we create. There are times when we build burdens that we have to bear. We build burdens that we have to bear. And actually, when I wrote that sentence, you want to begin to think about is my kids, when they were young, they liked to go to the place to go to Build-A-Bear. Remember Build-A-Bear? And when they went to Build-A-Bear, they'd always be so excited. They got to pick out the shell of the bear, and then they would take it over to the machine, and the machine blew the stuffing inside, and they loved to see the bear get bigger and bigger, and they got to do it themselves. And then at the very end of the Build-A-Bear process, there was what was called the heart ceremony. And they would pick out a heart, and they would take the heart, and when they put it inside the bear, the idea was that's when the bear became theirs and the bear came to life. Build-A-Bear, right? And the kids love that. They always love that. Well, sometimes I think you and I go through life, and all people go through life, and we build a burden. We do it all on our own. Nobody helps us. And when we build a burden, it's usually because our heart is missing from what we're trying to do. So, for instance, sometimes we're frustrated the relationship isn't very good. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's a relationship with a child. Maybe it's a friendship that's waning instead of improving over time. And quite often, when we have not invested in those relationships, when we have not filled them with love, when we have not filled them with kindness, when we have not filled them with thoughtfulness, we find that we have the shell of what we want, and the reason is we've never put our heart into it. It could be something totally different, like some people who are tired of living on the financial edge, tired of just sort of scraping by, and it's not because they don't have a steady job, it's not because they don't have the capacity, it's because some people haven't put their heart into the management process that's required to match expenses to income. And so there's a lot of thought about what should be done, how I should spend, the budget I should create, the goals I should set, maintaining a plan. But because the person's never put their heart into it, they've built a burden over time. It could be someone who wants to be healed of a problem in their life. But sometimes we don't put our heart into changing the very habits that are creating the problem. And we end up feeling like we've got this shell of a life, but it's never come to life. Well, Jesus saw that too. People came to Jesus just like that with the burdens they had built. And you may remember the guy at the pool in Siloam. The pool of Siloam. It was a guy who was waiting, and the story was that whenever the waters were, whenever the waters were troubled, meaning whenever there was a ripple, a wind on the water, the first person who got in the water would be healed. And this Jesus said, how long have you been here? And the guy had been there for years. He'd been there for years. And do you remember what Jesus' question was? Jesus looks at the guy and he says, do you want to be healed? Now, I would have just assumed that was the answer. That was yes, so much so you didn't even need to ask. But what I notice about Jesus, when he says, do you want to get well? That's what the real question was. Do you want to get well? What he does is he puts a little bit of that burden for healing back onto the man. He's asking the man where his heart is. And as it turns out, the man ends up being healed by Jesus. Do you remember the woman caught in adultery? That was a burden that had been created. And when Jesus spoke to her, he didn't condemn her. In fact, he told other people, you know, if you've got no sins, then throw the first stone. Feel free. And one by one, the stones all dropped. And then Jesus said something really simple. He said, hey, go and sin no more. And quite often when that scripture is read, the voice that we use is, go and sin no more. You know, it's this big, bold, like it's almost like there's a judgment hidden within the way it's said, if that makes sense. But you know what I think Jesus was doing? He was saying, hey, this is kind of a mess. This is a burden. Don't do that anymore. I mean, just go. Don't do that anymore. Because what Jesus does is he helps people find a remedy to their weariness. He helps people examine why they're so tired. And sometimes we're just tired because we've been working too long of hours. But sometimes we're tired because our life and the way we live it is exactly what makes us tired. And it's become a yoke around our neck. Now, that's an image that isn't used much because we don't live in an agrarian society. My family left the farm a generation ago. And so I never grew up on a farm. And also, modern farming doesn't have yokes around oxen or animals. But in biblical times, if you were going to need to use an animal to help you plow a field, you had to put a yoke on that oxen. And then that's how it held the plow behind it and drug that plow. And sometimes our life feels like a yoke has been put on us and we're just dragging our life and our responsibilities behind us. And what Jesus does is he offers us something different. He offers to take a yoke off of us. And that's really important because, you know, sometimes we build our own yoke, like the world puts expectations on us, or we take the expectations of the world and that becomes part of the burden that we carry. Sometimes religion can be a yoke. You know, sometimes we have religion in such a way, and Jesus talked about this in the first century. Now I want to be really clear. First century Judaism was led by Pharisees and Sadducees, who we would call today, they were ultra-Orthodox, meaning when they kept the Sabbath, they literally counted the steps. This is very different from the Judaism you see in our community, which is called Orthodox or conservative, but ultra-Orthodox. Those are the people that are really focused on keeping the rules. And Jesus looked at them and he said, hey, you tie up heavy, cumbersome loads. You put them on people's shoulders, but they themselves, you yourselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. That's what he said to the religious leaders who did that. Now we look at that and we sort of think, well, that's then, that's not now. But friends, sometimes the practices of churches today and clergy today are not so far afield from that. There's some people that have really bad experiences with Christianity because it becomes all about keeping the rules and keeping the code. And if you don't do it, you're out. And if you do it just right, maybe you're in, but it always feels a little tentative, right? It doesn't necessarily feel gracious. It feels like as long as I don't foul this up, I'm in. And pretty soon there are some pastors who teach a view of God in such a way that the Lord of love is turned into the angry Almighty, a God who stands ready to send us to harm now and hell later both. The good shepherd becomes the unjust judge. Such churches and pastors make people feel bad about their bad deeds, which seem unforgivable, and even about their good deeds, which seem never in keeping with the good enough of what God expects. And as a result, people can't find a way to enter into communion with God where they find rest, where they find an ease to the yoke that they carry. In fact, if we're not careful, the practice of Christianity itself becomes the yoke. And I don't mean yoke in a favorable way. I mean yoke in the worst of ways. Now, I share that because you've got to look at verse 28 where Jesus says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest." That's a different yoke. That's a different way of being. That's a different experience of religion. What Jesus offers us is real rest, and it's not just rest like take a nap. It's a sense of peace, a peace that the Apostle Paul says passes all understanding. And it's a peace that extends beyond the normal not easy and overcomes the burdens that we create, the hard we create. And the reason that Jesus can give us that rest, he says, is that He is the very nature of God. And that's in verse 27. "All things have been committed to me by the Father," he says. "No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Jesus knows that if you and I are going to take on a life that's joyful, that's light, that's meaningful, we're going to have to connect to God in such a way that we find God's wisdom, God's strength, and the capacity to allow God to heal us of the sins we've got to overcome and the habits that we've got to throw out. And that's a hard thing for humans to do on their own. Jesus says that he can do that because he is a part of the divine. He is a part of the Holy Trinity. In this statement, Jesus points us to the intimacy of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus tells us in that statement that he possesses the wisdom of the Creator who made all things, and that he's chosen to reveal that wisdom about how to live, how to love, and how to find a life that's truly a life, which is what I think you're looking for. This summer, I think everybody needs to take a nap. This summer, I hope everybody gets, you know, it's Father's Day today. And dads, you know, we celebrated mothers just a few weeks ago, and we said some really sincere words to them about how hard so many moms have been working. But dads, if you're someone who has children in your home right now, or if you're helping with grandchildren or friends, kids, or whatever, but if you're in any way functioning that way over the past year, many of you have been working at home, managing your kids' school. You've been trying to keep them busy. You've been trying to keep everybody from being depressed and sad. And at the same time, you've got to manage your own life. And dads, I just want to say happy Father's Day. Like this, there's ever a day that you should be celebrated, ever a year that you should be celebrated, and you ought to get a nap or get a chance to do what you want to do. This is that year and this is that day. But I would say this summer, I hope all of us find rest. Just some extra renewal time, some extra downtime. But this summer, I also hope that you will find a way to rest in Christ. This summer, I hope that you'll find some ways to renew your faith. And I've been saying over the past few weeks, I hope you'll find times of silence, times where you can think and really think without distraction, without having headphones on and a podcast going. I mean, I'm just talking about those moments where maybe you're just outside wherever you live and you find a quiet spot to enjoy. Maybe you get to go to a nice place. You get to go to a park or a trail or a vista or a beach or whatever it is. Doesn't have to be fancy. I hope you find ways to open your Bible and find a fresh word from God for the life that you're designing right now. I hope you pray deeper. I hope you have more silence. And I hope you find a way to meet Christ in the wonder of the beauty that's around us in the natural world. All of these are things that I've been trying to say to you over the past few weeks. And if it feels repetitious, I'm okay with that. Because most Christians don't spend quite enough time intentionally taking off the yoke of the problems we create or just the burdens of the world and setting it aside and then taking on a different yoke that Jesus says is available. And all you who are weary and heavy laden, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There's something about walking in the wisdom of God. There's something about walking in the love of God, in the goodness of God, and letting it guide your life, letting it move you in kindness and move you in compassion and move you in loving ways to the people around you. Everything gets richer. Your relationship with your friends gets richer. Your relationship with your spouse, if you're married, gets richer. Your relationship with your children, if you're a father or a mother, it gets richer. Everything gets richer. Your work, your free time, because you have a sense that you're walking in the presence of the Lord. And I share that with you. I want you to know something I'm doing this summer, starting tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm going to take 2 weeks off, and then I'll be back because we have two new pastors, Daniel and Isaiah Park, coming in July, and I'm going to be helping them onboard and get started in their ministry with Floris and Restoration Reston, and I'm excited about that. But then about the third week of July, I'm going to be taking 4 weeks off in a row. I have never taken that much time off in the entire 24 years that I've been your pastor. It'll be 6 weeks total in the summer. One of those sets will be 4 weeks. You know, I've noticed about many of you, and I've learned from you. I've noticed many of you, when you're in between jobs, you're winding one job down, you're going to take a new one, you'll put time in between, like a month, 2 months, sometimes even 3-4 months. I've talked to people here at Floris that have been able to do that. And you get this sort of time to restore yourself. And many of you have told me stories about how rich that's been. I'm just going to take 6 weeks and do that. I've been working with the Staff Parish Relations Committee and the Church Council. Now, why am I telling you that? I want you to know that I'm going to practice what I preach. Now, during that time, the church is going to be well cared for. We've got a fantastic staff. We've got some special things that'll happen during that time for Sundays. But what I want you to know is I am feeling a certain weariness right now after the pandemic and after 5 years of trying to help our denomination do some hard things and, frankly, a lot of changes here at Floris and our restoration campuses. I'm going to do what I'm telling you, encouraging you. I'm not telling you. I'm encouraging you to do. But I am telling you that it's in the gospel. I want to find a way to be alone with Christ. I want to find a way to do some reading of the Bible that's not for a sermon, but just for my own rest in Christ. I want to find a way to take in the wonder of the beauty of this world without feeling like, well, I've really got to get back. And so I've been working with our Staff Parish Relations Committee and our Church Council, and that's going to start. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, says Jesus, for I'm gentle, I'm humble in heart, and I'll give you rest for your souls. Here Jesus invites us not to religious obligations that are as unhelpful as they are unwieldy. He invites us instead to enter into a way of life that saves us from our missteps, prevents our problems, and offers us resilience in the normal, not easy flow of every human life. Jesus wants to deliver us from the artificial burdens and the barriers of true fellowship of the kingdom of God. And you don't have to take 6 weeks to do that. But I've been here for 24 years and I am going to do that this year. That's a different thing for me. But I do encourage you to be very intentional, to find a day or days where you also spend time with the Lord when you find rest for your soul in whatever form best suits you. I'm encouraging you to do that. I'm encouraging you to realize you're carrying the yoke of the world, not in a bad way. It's just the normal stuff of life. But I want to encourage you to take on the yoke of Christ. And if you and I do that, we'll realize that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And then a yoke of love will become a burden of compassion, and a yoke of righteousness will be a burden to do the right thing at the right time, and a yoke of communion with God will be the burden of love and friendship with others when you take on the yoke of Christ. Everything just gets better. I pray God will bless you as you act on whatever the Holy Spirit is speaking in your life today at this time. Amen.